Suka Uvacha.
Sri Sukadev Goswami said,
Atma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mayam, energy, Rite, without, Rajan, O King, Parasha, of the pure soul, Anubhava Atmanaha, of the purely conscious,
Na,
never, Ghateta, it can so happen, Artha, meaning, Sambandha,
relation with the material body,
Swapna,
dream,
Drashtu,
of the seer,
Eva,
like,
Anjasha,
completely.
Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, O King, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul in pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreamer's seeing his own body working. Please repeat after me. Sri Sukadev Goswami said,
O King,
unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
there is no meaning to the relationship
of the pure soul
in pure consciousness
with the material body.
That relationship
is just like a dreamer's
seeing his own body working.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Parikshit's question as to how a living entity began his material life, although he is apart from material body and mind, is perfectly answered. The spirit soul is distinct from the material conception of life, but he is absorbed in such a material conception because of being influenced by the external energy of the Lord, called Atma Maya. This has already been explained in the first canto in connection with Vasudeva's realization of the Supreme Lord and his external energy. The external energy is controlled by the Lord, and the living entities are controlled by the external energy, by the will of the Lord. Therefore, although the living entity is purely conscious in his pure state, he is subordinate to the will of the Lord in being influenced by the external energy of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also, the same thing is confirmed. The Lord is present within the heart of every living entity, and all the living entities' consciousness and forgetfulness are influenced by the Lord. Now the next question automatically made will be why the Lord influences the living entity to such consciousness and forgetfulness. The answer is that the Lord clearly wishes that every living entity be in his pure consciousness as a part and parcel of the Lord, and thus be engaged in the loving service of the Lord as he is constitutionally made. But because the living entity is partially independent also, he may not be willing to serve the Lord, but may try to become as independent as the Lord is. All the non-devotee living entities are desirous of becoming equally as powerful as the Lord, although they are not fit to become so. The living entities are illusioned by the will of the Lord because they wanted to become like him. Like a person thinks of becoming a king without possessing the necessary qualification, when the living entity desires to become the Lord himself, he is put in a condition of dreaming that he is a king. Therefore, the first sinful will of the living entity is to become the Lord, and the consequent will of the Lord is that the living entity forget his factual life and thus dream of the land of utopia where he may become one like the Lord. The child cries to have the moon from the mother, and the mother gives the child a mirror to satisfy the crying
and the child cries to have the moon from the mother, and the mother gives the child a mirror to satisfy the crying and disturbing the child with the reflection of the moon. Similarly, the crying child of the Lord is given over to the reflection, the material world, to lord it over as karmi, and to give this up in frustration to become one with the Lord. Both these stages are dreaming illusions only. There is no necessity of tracing out the history of when the living entity desired this, but the fact is that as soon as he desired it, he was put under the control of Atma Maya by the direction of the Lord. Therefore, the living entity, in his material condition, is dreaming falsely that this is mine and this is I. The dream is that the conditioned soul thinks of his material body as I, or falsely thinks that he is the Lord and that everything in connection with the material body is mine. Thus, only in dream does the miserable conception of I and mine persists life after life. This continues life after life as long as the living entity is not purely conscious of his identity as the subordinate part and parcel of the Lord. In his pure consciousness, however, there is no such misconceived dream, and in that pure conscious state, the living entity does not forget that he is never the Lord, but that he is eternally the servitor of the Lord in transcendental love. So, Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul in pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreamer seeing his own body working. So, Srimad Bhagavatam actually is a series of questions and answers. Parikshit Maharaj asked questions to Sukadev Goswami, and Sukadev Goswami answered Parikshit Maharaj's questions in the most sublime and transcendental way. Sukadev Goswami is imparting the spiritual knowledge to Parikshit Maharaj in this way, and those questions and answers were further repeated by Srila Suta Goswami in the forest of Naimisharanya, where the sages, thousands of sages, were assembled to perform a thousand-year-long sacrifice to eradicate the sinful influence of the age of Kali. So Suta Goswami narrated the discussion that took place between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadev Goswami. And in that assembly also, the sages, headed by Shaunaka Rishi, questioned Suta Goswami. And Suta Goswami clarified his question, or answered his question. So here, in answer to Parikshit Maharaj's question, how a living entity, although he is spiritual, becomes bound by the material body, has been answered by Sukadeva Goswami. Maharaj Parikshit's question was how a living entity began his material life. And Sukadeva Goswami is answering that the living entity's condition, living entity's real bondage in this material body or in this material nature is due to his desire to lord over like Krishna. Krishna is the supreme proprietor, therefore Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and rightfully Krishna only can lord over everything. Actually, you can lord over something that belongs to us. If something doesn't belong to us, we cannot enjoy that or we cannot lord over that. Now, when somebody tries to lord over without being the proprietor, he is a thief. He is termed as a thief. So, the living entities desire to lord over this material nature is actually a crime. Just as a thief, the more he steals, the more he is punished. The punishment is given to a thief to rectify his perverted consciousness. To steal is actually a disease. A person in his right consciousness will not steal. But there are some people who are suffering from a disease of stealing. They can't just stop stealing. It's called kleptomania. The disease of stealing. Klepto means to steal and mania means a disease. There are some people who are kleptomaniac. Like they suffer from a disease of stealing. Like there are some very rich people, like people are millionaires and he would go and shoplift. There are cases like that. Why? Because he suffers from that disease. I don't know whether there are such people in... I'm sure there are some people in Switzerland also. Yeah, there are some people like that. In America there are some cases like the person was a very, very rich man. He's a millionaire. Virtually he's a multi-millionaire. But he was caught stealing in a shop. Because he suffers from a disease. So, when a person, and actually, to be a thief is a kind of a disease. Some people, of course, become thief out of poverty. But some people steal out of a hobby. they like to shoplift. They like to go to place and steal. And a person in right consciousness will not steal even if he is in acute need. In India, people were so honest that they would not steal. Prabhupada mentioned, like in 1942-43, there was a big famine in India. There was a big scarcity of food. Actually, it was that scarcity of food was created by the British people, the English. The Britishers. Actually, they were fighting, British were fighting the Second World War, and they wanted the Indians to join the army, so that they could fight against the Germans. But Indians, the common people, were not interested in joining the army. So, British actually created that artificial famine. They burnt out the crops of the field. And there was a huge scarcity and that actually forced people to join the army. People couldn't get anything to eat and the British came and said, okay, you join the army, we will take care of your food. So this is how they actually created that artificial famine to force the Indians to join the army to fight the Second World War. Now, Prabhupada mentioned that during that famine, there was not a single case of looting. Although people died of starvation, but they would not steal anything. They would not steal any food from anyone. So that is how Indian society used to be, how Vedic culture influenced the Indians those days. That was how many years ago? Just 50 years ago. But today's India, you go to India, everybody became a thief actually. Somehow or other, everyone is trying to cheat everybody else. And that is how powerful Kali is. That is how Kali is influencing everybody. In early India, they never used to lock the doors. They used to sleep at night with the doors open. Because there was no thief, no stealing. Anyway, the point is that a person in his right consciousness will never steal. But when somebody steals, it has to be understood that he is, his consciousness has become perverted, his consciousness has become contaminated. Now, when somebody's consciousness becomes contaminated, then in order to rectify his consciousness, something must be done. Like, first thing is done is to give him advice. When somebody does something wrong, then first he's given advice. He's told that don't do that. It's not right. You shouldn't do that. Now, if he doesn't listen, then what happens? Then he is put into more severe condition. And this is how he is put into more and more severe condition to rectify his perverted consciousness. Now, in this material nature, everyone is a thief. Everyone is a thief. Because everyone is trying to enjoy Krishna's property without Krishna's permission. That reminds me, once the temple president of Calcutta went to a devotee's house. That devotee's father is a very big businessman. He is a very wealthy person and he's a big businessman. So his father was very much against ISKCON. So he told Adridharan Prabhu that you are just a bunch of beggars. You are just begging. The devotee is a bunch of beggars. So Adri said, yes, we are beggars, but you are a thief. And it is better to be a beggar than a thief. The beggar at least is asking, that doesn't belong to him, whether he can have that. But a thief, he doesn't even bother to ask for the permission of the person who it actually belongs to. So that man was completely flabbergasted. He was shocked when Adri spoke to him like that. And actually, it's a fact. In the material nature, everyone is a thief. Only when one becomes a devotee, he stops to be a thief. Because to be a devotee means to recognize that everything belongs to Krishna. Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagattam jagat. In this material nature, everything belongs to Krishna. And nothing belongs to us. And to be a devotee means to recognize that Krishna as the supreme proprietor. Bhoktaram yogyatapusham hishadam. To recognize Krishna as the supreme proprietor, the supreme lord of everything. Therefore, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And everyone else is enjoyed by Krishna. Everyone else is meant to provide for Krishna's enjoyment. And that's what a devotee does. A devotee simply tries to assist in Krishna's enjoyment. Everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment and everything must be provided for Krishna's enjoyment. Everything in this world. But when one doesn't do that, he is put into some kind of punishment. So this bondage in this material body is actually a punishment. When we become rebellious, when we, in simple words, when we become thieves, when we want to enjoy Krishna's property without Krishna's permission. It's not that the devotees don't enjoy. Devotees enjoy, but the devotees enjoy with Krishna's permission. And devotees enjoy Krishna's remnant. After Krishna enjoyed, everything can be enjoyed by Krishna's devotees. Krishna's devotees can enjoy after Krishna enjoyed everything. Like Krishna enjoyed some delicious food, and then Krishna tells the devotees, okay, now you can have it. I have taken. So Krishna offers. Just as we sing that Bhaja Bhakata Vatsala Shri Gaura Hari, Krishna enjoys the food with his friends. Then Krishna washes his mouth with his friends, hasta mukha prakhaliya, jato shakha gane, anande vishram kare, balo devo shami. Then after eating, Krishna and his friends take rest with Balaram. And then, jashomati agape dhanishtha anito, Shri Krishna prasad radha bhunje hoye prito. Then Mother Jasoda gives permission to Dhanishtha. Say, Dhanishtha is the maid servant of Mother Jasoda and Nanda. Dhanishtha brings the prasad. Mother Jasoda says, okay, now Krishna took the prasad, so you take the prasad and give it to Radha. So Radharani gets the remnants. Shri Krishna prasad radha bhunje hoye prito. Then Lolita adi shokhi gana avoshesho paye mone mone shukhe radha Krishna guna. Then after Radharani eats, then Radharani actually shares the prasad with Lalita, Vishakha and other gopis. And what the gopis do while taking the prasad, they sing the glory of Radha Krishna. Mone mone shukhe Radha Krishna gunagaya. Mentally, they chant, they sing the glory of Radha Krishna. So then, the prasad this way comes down, and this prasad is inexhaustible. Actually, what we offer to Radha Krishna, what we offer to Krishna, Krishna actually eats the prasad with all his friends. Although it may appear to us that just a plate of prasad, just one plate has been offered to Krishna, but that one plate is ate by Krishna and his Balaram and all the friends. Thousands of friends eat that prasad. Then that prasad, remnant, is offered to Radharani. And then Radharani shares it with all the gopis. And how many gopis are there? Innumerable gopis are there. Right? And then after they eat the prasad, the prasad remains intact. As if it is there, untouched by anyone. And that's why when we take prasad in right consciousness, there is no shortage. There will never be any shortage of prasad. Like the other day, Balaram was telling me in New York, I was asking him whether he gets prasad after we eat. And sometimes, although it's cooked for only 4 or 5 devotees, but when we take prasad, many devotees came and joined us. And we had... So everyone took prasad, but still after that, there was enough prasad left for those who were serving the prasad. And it's quite amazing, actually, how Krishna takes care of everybody. If we become situated in right consciousness, Krishna consciousness, then there will never be any scarcity. There'll never be any shortage of anything. So, devotees also enjoy. It's not that devotees starve or devotees suffer. If the devotees used to suffer, then no one would have been here today. Isn't it? If we were not enjoying, then why would we stay here in the temple? We are here because we are enjoying much more than we were enjoying before. Isn't it Harinamananda Prabhu? Although the karmis are trying to enjoy in so many ways, the karmis are making all kinds of arrangements for enjoyment. Their degree of enjoyment is becoming more and more intense. Previously, people used to enjoy, like in the early days, we can see, there is a saying that also is the proverb coming from thousands of years ago. And what the proverb is? The proverb is, jabot jivet sukham jivet rinam kritva ghritam pivet. That as long as you survive, you must enjoy. Beg, borrow or steal, drink ghee. So we can see that their extent of enjoyment was drinking ghee. They thought drinking ghee is enjoyment. The highest enjoyment was to drink ghee or eat food cooked with a lot of ghee. Rinam kritva ghritam pibet. But now we can see, even few years back, people used to think that enjoyment meant drinking wine. They wanted to enjoy by drinking wine. But in last 20 years' time, we have seen how their concept of enjoyment is actually becoming more and more degraded. Concept of enjoyment is deteriorating. People, 20, 30 years ago, they used to enjoy by drinking wine. But then, wine was not enough for them. So they started to smoke hashish, right? And then that also was not good enough, so they invented LSD. And now, one after another, it's becoming stronger and stronger. Heroin, morphine, cocaine. And finally, what they do? In China, they used to do that. In China, they used to take opium. They used to take opium, but then after some time, they used to become immune to opium. Even opium would not work in them. Opium is actually a very strong poison. But they became so habituated to opium that they wouldn't get the kick out of taking opium. So, finally they used to take snake bite. They used to take cobra bite. So this is how, in the material nature, the concept of enjoyment deteriorates. No matter how much they try to enjoy, they're never satisfied. Actually, in the material nature, they try to enjoy by suffering. They try to enjoy by suffering. Like they try to enjoy by taking poison. These are all intoxicants. Intoxicants, the word intoxicant is coming from the word toxin. And toxin means? Toxin means poison. So there, the alcohol, hashish, marijuana, heroin, opium, all these are actually poison. And finally, snake bite. They are all poison. They think that by taking poison, they are going to enjoy. That's how the concept in the material nature is upside down or perverted. They think, in the material nature, they think suffering is enjoyment. So no matter how much they suffer, they're not satisfied. They want to suffer more. Like everything actually is suffering. What goes on in the name of enjoyment. Sex life is actually intense form of suffering. Taking intoxication is a very intense form of suffering. So all these so-called enjoyment for the conditioned souls in this material nature are nothing but suffering. And no matter how much they suffer, they are not satisfied. Naturally, one doesn't become satisfied by suffering. One never thinks that I suffered enough to become perfectly satisfied. So this is the illusion. Due to his illusion, he thinks that suffering is enjoyment, and more he suffers, the more he thinks that, well, it was not good enough, I want to have some more suffering. And so this is what Maya is. So, the real enjoyment is in enjoyment. If we want to be satisfied, then we have to get the taste of enjoyment. And when we get the taste of real enjoyment, then immediately we become satisfied. Just like in Krishna consciousness, our first enjoyment actually began by following the four regulative principles. Devotees who were addicted to all kinds of sinful life, as they gave up their sinful activities, they felt, oh, it's so wonderful. I'm enjoying now. Like, people who used to take intoxicants, or even those who used to smoke cigarettes. When they stopped smoking, they started to feel so much better. Then now I can breathe so well. And now I can sleep so well. And then, what to speak of those who are indulging in even more gross sinful activity. So when one gives up sinful life, he immediately starts to enjoy. And most of the devotees actually got the taste of Krishna consciousness right at the beginning of the spiritual life. When they gave up their sinful activities and started to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they started to experience, oh, it's so nice. I'm feeling so happy. And on top of everything, the association of devotees is so wonderful. And then, as they become more and more involved in Krishna consciousness, they enjoy more and more. And this is how they become more and more fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Devotees who are following the process of Krishna consciousness properly never gives up Krishna consciousness. Will never be able to give up Krishna consciousness. Even though they sometimes may go away, but that will only be temporary. For only for a short while they'll be away. They'll come back. Once one got the taste of Krishna consciousness, he cannot stay away. They have to come back sooner or later. And I'm seeing so many devotees who left ISKCON at one time are coming back now. Because they can't stay away. The material life is too painful, too miserable. And Krishna consciousness is so blissful. So they just cannot stay away from Krishna consciousness. And what is Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness means to accept Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead, to realize that Krishna is the supreme proprietor and we all are his eternal servants. Now this is how we rectify our perverted consciousness. Now, the cause of our material bondage, as Prabhupada explained in this purport, or as Sukadeva Goswami replied response to Parikshit Maharaj's question, is that when a living entity wants to lord over this material nature, or when the living entity desires to lord over like Krishna, then he is put into this material nature. Living entity desires to enjoy like Krishna. But in this, and Krishna, the Supreme Father, he tells the living entity, why do you want to go? Why do you want to enjoy like me? Or Krishna feels, okay, this child of mine wants to enjoy like me. Okay. Let him get the taste of enjoyment. Let me fulfill his desire. So Krishna actually creates a situation where a living entity gets a chance to enjoy like Krishna. But in the spiritual nature, a living entity cannot have that kind of enjoyment. In the spiritual nature, Krishna is the supreme proprietor, and the spiritual nature is situated in eternal knowledge, in eternal truth. Therefore, in the spiritual nature, only Krishna is the supreme proprietor and supreme enjoyer. No one else can be the proprietor. In reality, a living entity can never be a proprietor or enjoyer. Therefore, Krishna creates this illusory nature called Maya. And a living entity is put into this nature where he gets a chance to enjoy like Krishna according to his desire. And in this material nature, actually everyone, starting from an insect up to the richest man, everyone is trying to enjoy like Krishna. But more one tries to enjoy, what happens? More one tries to enjoy, the more one ends up suffering. It's something like you're very hungry. You didn't have anything to eat for 3 days. Can you imagine how hungry you feel? You're extremely hungry. And then you come into a room. And in the room you see there's a mirror. And in the mirror there's a reflection of some beautiful food. Most delicious food. So what will be a natural impulse? You will immediately charge to get the food. But as you try to get the food, what happens? You just bang against the mirror. Isn't it? Then you think that, well, you didn't try hard enough to get the food. So you make an even greater effort. You charge harder. And what happens? As you charge, you bang against the mirror. And your head starts to bleed. Your nose starts to bleed. Then you think, well, you didn't try hard enough. So you make another attempt to get the food. So in this material nature, our endeavor to enjoy is something like that. We are trying to get what we really want out of a reflection. And no matter how hard we try to enjoy this material nature, we'll never be satisfied. On the other hand, we'll become more and more miserable. Instead of becoming satisfied out of our endeavor for enjoyment, we'll become more and more miserable. So then, when we become extremely miserable out of our endeavor to enjoy this material nature, then someday we receive a book written by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And that book actually opens up the door to the spiritual sky to us. We get a book and then we say, well, yeah, that's it. Krishna is the enjoyer. We are not the enjoyer. Our endeavor to enjoy in this material nature is leading us to more and more suffering. The real way to enjoy, the real way to become joyful is by accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. Didn't that happen to all of us practically? How many of you came reading Srila Prabhupada's books? Please raise your hand. Yeah, practically all of you. And what happened? What happened when you read the book? What was the first impression? You realized, this makes so much sense. And actually what these books are actually telling us. The books are telling us that drone, you are hungry, you want some food, don't bang your head against the mirror to get the food. The food is actually there on the table. All you have to do is turn your face away from the mirror and approach the table. Since the reflection is there, the food must be there also. Isn't it? Can the reflection be there without the real food? No. So, the spiritual master, the devotees of ISKCON are actually teaching people how to turn their face away from the mirror and approach the table that is full of most wonderful delicacies. And then we turn our face away from the mirror and then we approach the table and we really get the taste of enjoyment. But at the same time, we have a thing called conditioning. Habit is the second nature. We have become so used to getting our head banged against the wall or the mirror that we begin to think that after all there is some enjoyment in getting our heads banged against the wall. So in spite of getting all the wonderful prasad on the table, we want to go back to the Maya and bang our head against the mirror of Maya. So sometimes some devotees feel that way. Let me go and have some fun in the material nature. But Krishna says, okay, fine. If you want to go, go ahead. Get your head banged against the wall a few times. Start to bleed for a few times and get hospitalized for a few days. And then you come back to me. So this is how finally, we realize that there is no enjoyment in the material nature, but the real enjoyment is in Krishna consciousness. So when one becomes situated in Krishna consciousness, then he becomes really joyful. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is pointing out in this purport. It doesn't really matter when and how we become conditioned in this material nature. Try to get out of this material nature by becoming Krishna conscious. Just accept Krishna as the supreme proprietor, accept Krishna as your dearmost friend, and Krishna will take care of you. Don't worry about anything. Krishna said, Krishna gave the assurance himself. Kauntya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Arjun, you announce boldly that my devotees will never vanquish. Never ever any inauspiciousness will befall my devotees. That's the assurance Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said once, Srinivas Thakur asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if I sing Hare Krishna, what will happen to my family? Who will maintain my family? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't worry about it. I will take care of you. Maintenance. I will supply you with everything that you need. And he said, Srivash, even the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, may have to go out with a begging bowl, but you will never have any scarcity. Even Lakshmi Devi may go out begging, but you won't have to suffer from any scarcity. So that is the assurance Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us. And we have seen, if we become fixed up in devotional service, if we try to serve Krishna properly, then we get everything supplied to us. As a matter of fact, Krishna gives us more than we need. Actually, devotees do not have any scarcity. So why should we worry? I mean, we are seeing, at every step, we are experiencing how Krishna is taking care of us. And we have to have the confidence that Krishna will take care of us. No matter how dangerous the situation in this world may become, but devotees don't have to worry about anything. There are so many examples. Prahlad Maharaj, he was a 5-year-old child. And his father was the king of the demons. And his father was so powerful that he defeated the demigods and drove them out of heavenly planets. And that Hiranyakashipu, the father of Prahlad Maharaj, wanted to kill Prahlad. Such a powerful person tried to kill this 5-year-old boy. But what happened to Prahlad? Did Hiranyakashipu succeed in killing Prahlad? No. Prahlad was saved by Krishna. So from these incidences, we have to derive our conviction. We have to become convinced that Krishna will protect us. If Krishna protected Prahlad Maharaj, and if we become devotees of Krishna, won't Krishna protect us? Sure, he'll protect us. And actually in the material nature, although we are not devotees of Krishna, even when we are not devotees of Krishna, Krishna is protecting us. Krishna is perfectly protecting us. Can you imagine the world is moving with a speed, what is the velocity of the speed, world's rotation? Something like 8,000 miles an hour. With a tremendous speed, the earth is moving. Right? Now, what is actually holding us? Can you imagine if something is moving with such a speed? If something is moving at such a speed, then we'll immediately be thrown out. But Krishna actually made the perfect arrangement. Although the earth planet is moving with a tremendous speed, Krishna has created the center of gravity, which is actually holding us onto the earth planet. The whole creation, whole universe is moving at a tremendous speed. So, it is not surprising that we are alive. Or rather, it is surprising that we are still alive. Now, we should have been dead long time ago. Krishna made so many wonderful arrangements for us. Krishna provided us with all the oxygen that we need. Krishna provided us with all the water that we need. Krishna provided us with all the food that we need. Although we are inimical to Krishna, Krishna has supplied everything to us. So if we become a devotee of Krishna, won't Krishna supply? Won't Krishna take care of us? Sure, Krishna will take care of us. Therefore, Krishna announced through Arjuna that my devotees will never vanquish. Why did Krishna announce through Arjuna? Why Krishna made Arjuna make that commitment? Does anybody know? Yeah. Right. Sometimes Krishna breaks his own promise. For example, Krishna took a vow that he will not take any weapon in the battle of Kurukshetra. He will not touch any weapon in the battle of Kurukshetra. But for the sake of Bhishma, he broke this promise. He picked up a wheel and charged towards Bhishma to kill him. So Krishna sometimes breaks his promise. But Krishna never allows his devotee's vow to be broken. Therefore, to make us completely convinced about this assurance, Krishna made Arjuna speak. Arjuna, go and announce boldly that my devotees will never vanquish. So once we become a devotee of Krishna, we don't have to worry about it. And that's why devotees are careful. So once we become a devotee of Krishna, we don't have to worry about it. And that's why devotees are fearless. Devotees are completely fearless. Because he knows that Krishna will give him all protection. Of course, devotees are fearless, that doesn't mean that the devotees are irrational or devotees are, what's the expression? Reckless? You familiar with the expression? That means he will think that, well, since I'm a devotee, let me jump from 20-story building. Krishna will protect me. No. Devotee means a person who is engaged only in Krishna's service. And yes, if for the sake of Krishna's service, we have to jump from 20-story building, Krishna will give us protection. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question or comment? Gaurlila, it looks like you have a question or a comment. Yeah? Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Okay. Does anybody? Yeah. Madhu Mangal.
I heard lately inquired also by other devotees that spiritual soul comes from the spiritual world first by ignorance and then it develops some desires. So I was thinking about it and did not understand how this ignorance can be already in the spiritual world, and then when it comes, doesn't it come like a certain desire to be ignorant for him?
Yeah. About that question, Srila Prabhupada actually gave the answer here. There is no necessity of tracing out the history of when the living entity desired this.
I don't mean so much the history, but...
Okay.
I mean, otherwise, now that I've been explaining things more, but I just want to say that one is the church to desire, or is it known? Because I think it's the
point. Yeah. Actually, we have to understand that the desire is first. And because of the desire, there is ignorance. Because if we did not desire, then Krishna wouldn't have sent us here. So this desire to enjoy like Krishna is ours. And when we desire that, then Krishna arranges us to forget about our spiritual identity. And that is the ignorance.